you like conversation on a variety of topics? Feel like no one wants to talk about the things that interest you? Tired of only hearing the same political, sports, or catastrophe talk? Yeah, we feel that way too. Join two high-functioning geeks as they discuss just about anything under the sun. We can't tell you what we'll be talking about each week because we don't know where our brains will take us. It will be an interesting conversation, though, so hang on and join us. Here comes the Relentless Geekery.
So, I think we're at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Stephen, for joining. We have our Relentless Geekery podcast that we do once a week, and we've had a lot of fun with it for like how many, 25, 30 episodes?
Yeah, since June.
We thought we'd do today, what was our theme for today? Kind of Christmassy.
Like we did for the Halloween.
Exactly. You know, so with everybody having the holidays coming up, what we try to do, Relentless Geekery touches on everything because nowadays geekery kind of touches on everything. But what are your first thoughts on that, Stephen? Like, what movies do you like?
Well, let me hit you with this first. So we had a discussion here and we kind of broke it apart because you have Christmas movies, but then you have movies that are set at Christmas time. And there's a distinct difference between some of those because here's trivia of the day, Mr. Jeopardy. What is the highest grossing movie set at Christmas time?
Honestly, I think it's Die Hard.
Nope.
Oh, because I was going to say, that's a Christmas movie.
Exactly. That's arguably set at Christmas.
So it's a shoot 'em up, what I mean? But so set at Christmas time. So it's not a Christmas movie like Love Actually or
exactly. I would not classify it Christmas movie, but it falls into the overall.
I would have got maybe Christmas Vacation because that seems to be one that not only had a big splash in theaters, but it's had good longevity. But I'm barking up the wrong tree. It's not a Christmas movie.
Right. Nope. It's Iron Man 3.
Yeah, there's a holiday spirit movie.
Exactly.
There you go.
And that's why you got to start distinguishing. So Die Hard and Lethal Weapon, watch those every year. Okay. I've done it for years and years. But arguably, it's not a Christmas movie. Yeah, but it puts me in the spirit. It's that tradition.
Yeah. Well, the studios became very cunning about how to use the holidays, right? There's always a big 4th of July opening. There's always a big Christmas movie opening. So as a family, we used to get together and on the day after Christmas, when everybody needs a little break from the exhaustion of gift opening and cooking and stuff, we went to see Ants one year. You know what I mean? I love animation. And so we got the family to go see that together. And has there ever been a Star Wars installment that came out around?
Yeah, there were several that came out in December, more of the recent ones.
Okay.
They broke the May time thing.
Yeah, because they know people have leisure time and maybe money. You know that some kids got some gifty in an envelope or something like that. So,
Didn't me and my kids meet you at the theater to watch episode one when it came out? And that was December, I thought.
That's right. Exactly. That's back when it was. We were still doing Mensa movie night on a regular basis.
You remember those?
Yeah. It's our group, unfortunately, it's not moribund, but it sure is. COVID has affected it. And we one of our members who used to do that movie night kind of is on hiatus. And so without the spark plug that local groups need, you need to have someone that's going to say, we're going at this movie
cheerleader
this time and send it out a week in advance so people can actually make a plan instead of 15 minutes before or whatever like that. Anyway, right. So we
started a new tradition this year in November. It's Thanksgiving. There aren't quite as many Thanksgiving movies or TV shows. We've got a couple favorites. But to make the transition between Halloween and Christmas, we've started watching the different Krampus movies. We figured it's horror set at Christmas time, right? That's perfect, right? That transition in between there.
Your family does have a penchant for horror that we do not.
We certainly do.
We've been watching The Great British Baking Show because it's
that can be horrific,
calming, wonderful thing. Honestly, I never expected to like it as much as I do. It's just so sweet. The people on there are very kind to each other, and the judges, even when they're being a little bit snarky, good Lord, they're not pounding on tables and yelling at you and saying something about your parentage.
So for Americans, that's a fantasy, right?
Yeah, it kind of is. It's very British. You got to get British in the title to have that expectation of decency and politeness. I know that's a terrible thing to say.
What we really need is the Redneck Baking Show, No, roadkill.
No, exactly. Here's a cake you can cook under the hood of your car while you drive around. You know, right, don't they have a whole roadkill cookbook and stuff?
Yeah, actually, I had that when I was in Boy Scouts.
So one of the joys of doing this as a live podcast is it isn't just going to be Steve and I chatting. If people are willing to unmute and share, what's your favorite Christmas movie? Do you have one that you try to watch every year? Or for instance, not only movies, but I love all the Christmas specials that have come to be over the course of my lifetime. So every year we try to watch The Grinch.
Yep.
We try to watch Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
The old...
we can sing all the songs. You can kind of recite them almost at this point, right?
Right.
What else do people have?
Well, there's a couple new ones that we like to watch. We like to watch Prep and Landing and Klaus on Netflix. Both of those are recommended.
Okay. I've not watched those. I thank you for the new lead. Exactly.
Yes. And there's an old one that a lot of people don't know about, Cosmic Christmas. It's from the 80s. It's aliens come down to Earth to learn about Christmas.
So it goes into the spirit of Christmas a little
exactly.
bit.
And that's sweet. It very much does. It's a good one. One a lot of people don't know.
Okay.
I actually remember that one, but I've never heard anybody else talk about it.
Yep. Leave it to me. I'll find the esoteric ones.
I did, by the way, just open my chat window, which I hadn't had open before. And yes, White Christmas or Holiday Inn, right? You know, they're kind of interchangeable as to which has the song in it. Those are both feel-good movies. It's a Wonderful Life, of course, with, you know, Jimmy Stewart in a fantastic performance. And
Miracle on 34th.
I don't recommend Holiday Inn anymore. It is very politically incorrect and racist.
So you might be right. There's it's very military.
White Christmas is aged well. Holiday Inn, not so good.
You know what? Just as an aside, I understand that, but I think that sometimes applying modern sensibilities to things that were made like 50 years ago, I try to like put myself in the time capsule and not say, boy, that isn't right. That
I agree. Like,
I'm okay with saying, well, we just didn't know better or it was of the times. You know, when I hear zippity doo-dah, I don't immediately hate people. I just kind of say that was of the times, I guess, and we've gotten better.
Mark Twain, we had that whole discussion. It'll probably come up again.
Yeah. So but
I'll probably get kicked out of Mensa for this, but I've taken to watch the Hallmark Christmas movies.
I was just going to ask about that.
Yeah, you don't have to name which one because they're all the same.
Yeah, they slap them together, though. It becomes like a puzzle to find all the mistakes, because there's a lot of mistakes if you like watch carefully in the background.
Okay. Well, and first of all, Susie put into the chat, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Thank you, Susie. I love that one. That's definitely one I like to watch.
This is no lie. I have that in my list of what I was going to mention, thinking no one else knows about this one.
No, so it's Mensa, man.
One of the ways of chatting with Mensans is there's nothing you can put past us. Everybody has that wonderful set of obscure references. It's the coolest thing.
So here for the Hallmark movies, because, you know, Hallmark basically has one plot line. They just put different people, different settings on it. But there's one actress that I always make point of, Alicia Witt, the redhead. She's like in one or two new Christmas movies every single year. So there's like 50 of them out there with her in it. So if you look up Hallmark movies.
She found her type.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure she makes a good living doing it. I'm sure. There are a couple... for me, for the Hallmark movies, there are a couple I do like. I like Christmas Visitor, Christmas Card, and Christmas Heart, and A Very Merry Mix-Up, which has Alicia Witt. Those are some of my favorite, because I think they hold up a little better. Some of the others are just so bland. It's, you know, which one am I watching? So,
yeah. Okay. Isn't there one called like Christmas with the Croods, where it's the caveman movie?
It's kind of new.
Okay.
I think they brought it out because they just came out with a new Croods movie. So, you know, trying to push the whole thing.
Exactly. They have a lot of times now where the initial movie comes out and it's successful, but it's not successful enough to put it in theaters. But then there's like follow-ons that go direct to video or direct to HBO Max or whatever.
Oh, Alan, that's a topic for our next regularly scheduled podcast. Yeah. Did you see the news? Warner Media announced that for 2021, all of their movies will be going to the theater and HBO Max same day.
I did just see that. So in fact, the things that have kind of been in the hopper because of COVID, they're going to have a lot of good stuff coming out.
That's crazy.
You know,
I knew it was coming, but
yeah. So are there any Christmas superhero movies? You know what I mean?
Besides Iron Man?
Comic besides Iron Man 3, exactly that.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
There is Hogfather from Discworld. It was a BBC special.
Exactly that. And that once you get into Terry Pratchett, I mean, that's a whole other discussion we can have because those are such great books.
Yes.
My one comment about Terry Pratchett is I can't read them in a row. I can't binge them. They're a very interesting sense of humor, but you find out that if you keep kind of pushing that button, it deadens it. So what I do is I sprinkle Terry Pratchett's in amongst other things I'm reading, and then they're renewedly funny.
Yeah. Xanth is kind of the same way.
So, yeah. Yeah. So let's see. Charlie Brown Christmas.
Every year.
That one. You know, and that has songs that have penetrated the consciousness. Everybody knows the
which isn't even the Christmas song in that show because they play that on all of them.
Yeah. And who did it? Vince Guaraldi.
Vince Guaraldi.
Guaraldi, exactly.
And if you want to hear a good version of that song, go up on YouTube. Look up the Piano Guys. They did a live thing at a nursing home where they just went in with a cello and a piano and started playing the Charlie Brown theme. And it's just a wonderful thing to watch. I love watching that video every year. They also did a really good Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Okay. It's awesome because it's like four guys around one piano. And one guy's tapping on the piano for drums. One guy's using hair from a violin bow and using it on the piano strings. And then there's like two guys playing. But as they play the song, they rotate and they each change the parts they're doing.
How cool and is that?
You should look that one up. Hark the Herald Angels Sing by the Piano Guys on YouTube.
Yeah. You know, I haven't done it that often here in Cleveland. We have been to Colleen's sister works for a hospice, and so we've been there caroling. But in Chicago, we used to have a men's event that was going caroling every year at various different retirement homes or hospices and so forth. And that what you just said, that the effect that music has on people, you know what I mean? The holidays can be tough if you're, I don't know, alone or just you've had a rough year or something like that. But music seems to just go to a wonderful place in your brain, and people, they pipe up, they sing along.
Yes.
It's really a beautiful thing.
So. I know people that listen to Christmas carols like all year. They'll listen to them. But I have the urge, but I avoid doing that because I think they mean something. They're more special to me when I hear the music at Christmas time. I will admit it has been a stressful year. I started listening earlier this year than normal. Here's a couple of my favorites. The Harry Simeon Chorale, very fantastic music. And then I liked The Very Special Christmas, which was for donations to the Special Olympics, lots of rock and rollers.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Those are great. And then my favorite Christmas song is Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid. And I know a lot of people about that, but something about that song I really, really like.
Yeah. I just last night listened to my first voluntary Christmas music, if you will. You know, I've already been hearing it in malls and car radio and so forth. I almost always start off with Mannheim Steamroller. I love the fact that they've made their own niche in doing that. You know, I love Mannheim Steamroller back when they were just doing kind of medieval progressive rock, if you can call it that.
When they were just Mannheim.
Exactly. Well, actually, Steamroller, the term is not about the device, but it's about a technique on the keyboard where you do kind of a rolling riff again and again. That's what Steamroller stands for. Even though they kind of play to it by having the little train that could be a steamroller. But anyway, there's a fun fact to know and tell.
That's something I didn't know. Thank you.
So the fact that they've been able to do multiple albums, and maybe now they're getting a little thin in classics. You know, they've done so many of the classics that now it's, I don't know, more obscure, if you will, but I just love their ornamentation. They do great orchestration. They do great arrangements. They like, you know, Little Drummer Boy was in heavy play on MTV and stuff like that. You know, it's, they're an industry in that regard. We've seen them actually in concert a couple times, and it's really, again, a sweet show. Everybody in the place is just so happy to be there, and they can pull off like precise music with joy, which is not always easy. You know, sometimes joy means you kind of spin a little bit out of control, but I also put some pentatonics last night.
I was just going to say that.
Yep. Pentatonics and Straight No Chaser, that wonderful only vocals.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. It's and especially you crank it up a little bit so it fills the room. I don't know if anybody knows these guys, but they're really worth seeking out. I'm amazed when I did a little iTunes search. I have tons of Christmas albums without realizing how many I had accumulated over the years. So I mentioned I really like progressive rock. Many groups like Keith Emerson did a Christmas album. Rick Wakeman did. Jethro Tull, the group, did. You know, I'm going to see. Greg Lake, when you mentioned that you really like
Father Christmas. Live Aids,
is I Believe in Father Christmas is like one of those modern carols that it's perfect. It fits right in with I Never Mind Hearing It for Christmas.
Right.
I also listen to Mary Axmas, which is a whole bunch of guitar shredders tearing it up. And Trans-Siberian Orchestra has made a whole career out of spectacle.
Let me give you a good aside on Trans-Siberian Orchestra. There is a cover band for them called First Snow that we saw last year up at Lorraine Palace. They didn't do it this year, but they basically do the Trans-Siberian Orchestra show, but they're a cover band. So we got to see the same type of thing, but a lot cheaper, which is great. But okay, so Trans-Siberian Orchestra, when they started, the guys that started the band were actually a hair metal band in the early 90s.
Yes.
I forget the name. It starts with an S. I forget the name off the top of my head. But they went and formed Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Here's the crazy part. Every year I go down to Florida for my work, and we do a conference. And the one guy plays drums in a band. So he and I always talk a little bit music. Well, the one year they got hired to play the music, and it was to his other two bandmates, and they played a lot of 80s rock. Well, the two bandmates do a duo. They do bars and stuff, and they have things programmed on keyboard, and I was talking to him. Well, he's the other guy from that hair metal band that didn't go on to Trans-Siberian Orchestra. So it was just like small world. I went down to Florida and ran into him, and they showed me in Germany. He goes to Germany once a year, and he's still huge over there. He will draw 50,000 people crowds.
Was it Sabotage? Was that the name of the band?
Yes, that's it.
So yeah, da-ding. Thank
you, Jeopardy
man. I'll take Sabotage for $500. Exactly. In fact, there's an acoustic version of Trans-Siberian Orchestra that goes, you know, because they only do their thing from like Thanksgiving through January, if you will. O'Toole, they call themselves O'Toole, and they've been at the Winchester, which is a little club that seems to get great bands right here in Lakewood, and they do like acoustic versions of heavy metal, which is nice. Really, it shows you the, I don't know, some of those are really good songs without all of the tossing of the hair and the like. Colleen and I, we went to First Night in Akron one year.
Oh, I missed that. And
it's like all alcohol free, so you don't get anywhere near the amount of like being bumped into and raved at. But then we finished it by going to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra show, and it was so over the top that we were like, wow, it was so nice and quiet at First Night. I wish we would have done this in the reverse order. Yeah. You know I mean, it was
but that's what's designed for it. And
a lot of fire pots for Christmas, lots of hair spinning around.
and the First Snow, even though they're a cover band, they had this like huge Spirit of Christmas guy come Frankenstein walking onto the stage, and they had some fireworks and they had lasers and stuff. So, I mean, they did a really good job for a small venue.
Exactly. I'm trying to think, I really love like Annie Lennox has a great Christmas album because her voice is just so
fantastic.
Perfect. Syrup, amber.
It's gotten better with age.
It really has, you know, from the days in the Eurythmics, there's a couple. She has Medusa and Diva. I know we're getting off Christmas, but they're on my, when I don't know what else I want to listen to, I know I can put those on and I'll love every song. They're a perfect album. There's no bad cuts, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Melissa Etheridge has a Christmas album, and she's also got a very soulful voice. Joan Osborne, and also Cheap Trick, REO Speedwagon, a whole bunch of other just kind of straight up rock and rollers. They're record company must have come to them and said, you know what we're seeing trending,
right?
And Christmas albums, and if you put one into the mix, you'll sell 200,000 units or something.
So
you know?
So here's one for you. Billy Idol has a Christmas album.
See, that's cool.
And he just put it out within the last decade.
It shows a white wedding, it's white Christmas.
Exactly. He's in a tuxedo and he's playing piano. It's like, who would have guessed? Yeah. Okay. So and here, let me do a little plug. There's a band I discovered. They're local to me down here. I heard them at the Randolph Fair. Her name's Amanda Jones. She now goes by AC Jones. And she's fantastic, has some good stuff, but she's been going to Nashville and recording, and she's working on becoming a hit country artist. And she just released a Christmas album. It's called A Different Kind of Christmas by AC Jones. So go check that one out. I'm doing a plug for them. I don't know them personally, but we used to try and go and see them as much as possible. Of course, now she's getting big. So, you know, oh, look, she's doing a show and it's $25 a ticket instead of a free sit on the lawn.
There. You know, it's funny. We when we post this, we almost always have not a transcript, but we have highlights. We definitely have to put links to all the cool things we're mentioning.
Because, yes, I was going to ask you for a list.
Yeah, you know, it. I love getting that. One of the joys of Mensa Conversation is tell me about the music or the book or the game or whatever that unless you told me about it, I kind of wouldn't fall into it on my own. I wouldn't discover it. And I've gotten so many good leads over the years from people that they don't even know why they love it. It doesn't have to be like it's on a best of list. It's just that it's got something that they particularly are moved by. And I think that's really cool. So,
okay. What about Brian Setzer from Stray Cats? He has a couple Christmas albums.
Yeah. We love him. I mean, we the rockabilly thing. And in fact, I've seen a rumor that it's not just going to be him, but he might actually return to the Stray Cats.
Really?
For, you know, one of those encore things like the Police got back together and maybe they're going to be another one. I'd see their Christmas stuff and I'd see their Stray Cat stuff in a heartbeat because I guess I'm pretty omnivorous in my taste. And no matter what it is, if it's done well, I love it, you know, so.
Right. I actually have started to have to make to-do lists of the leisure activities I want to do, or I end up forgetting about some and missing them. It's like, okay, today I'm going to read this chapter in this book, and I'm going to listen to this album, and I'm going to read this comic, and then I'm going to watch this TV. I have to like plan this stuff out to enjoy myself.
There you go. And by the way, once again, I'm not doing it often enough. I'm glancing over to the chat. Yeah. Alex, you are spot on. I really did guess Sabotage before I read it from you, by the way, so that wasn't fakery. But I appreciate that you knew, and you're exactly right about going down the prog rock rabbit hole. There's any number of times if you go to a Spotify, I used to go to Pandora all the time. And when I was trying to create a good Christmas radio station, discovered all kinds of stuff. Yeah. But it's amazing how it will jump you to all the time people you've not heard of. And it's like, oh, you bastards. Now I have to go buy something. You know, I can't just wait to hear it here. I will go get the full album of it. I kind of want to hear everything that the artist did about this.
You got to start at album number one from 1965 and work through the 30 of them to get to the newest one.
In fact, again, to kind of throw it open to the audience, we've talked about things that are Mannheim Steamrollers relatively modern, but there's all kinds of classics, right? Didn't Neil Diamond do a Christmas album? Didn't Johnny Mathis? Anybody have like favorites that they grew up with that they still listen to now? You know, like my family had like a Time Life. They used to put out records. And so they had a 4-record set that was, here's European classics and here's vocal classics and here's with the orchestra. And that's when I think of many versions of Christmas songs, it's that version that I think of because that's what I grew up with. And then it's in your head forever, you know. Anybody have a recommendation for an old style or even just, you know, came out a while back album that we should all have? Let's see. John Denver and the Muppets, I see. And I just saw a reference on probably Facebook to that's one of the best specials ever done if you're really looking for perfect Christmas music.
There's a couple good ones on there, especially like the 12 Days of Christmas song, and then the one where Miss Piggy and Gonzo are singing put the figgy pudding, whatever that song is, I forget.
Okay.
But yeah, that's a good one.
Doesn't have to be a complete album. I also have a reference here to Weird Al Yankovic has a couple Christmas songs like Christmas at Ground Zero.
So,
and isn't there one like the year that Santa went crazy?
Crazy. Yeah, yeah. Christmas at Ground Zero. I actually skipped that song on the album until at least mid-November.
Until Christmas. Yeah. That's funny.
So here real quick, we've got another tradition. I mentioned this to you once. We always start our holiday season on Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving, by listening to Stuart McLean's Polly Anderson's Christmas Party. If you haven't checked it out, go look up Stuart McLean, Polly Anderson's Christmas Party. It's out there. I think you can get it singly on Amazon. But we start every year, and my son and I especially, we quote it, we laugh, and there's nothing that puts us in the spirit more than that because we've made it such a tradition. It's just a beautifully written, well put together story that's humorous, and it's really worth listening, taking the 20 minutes to listen to it.
We'll have to do that. It's kind of funny. This is one of the first years that Colleen and I did not listen to Alice's Restaurant. You know, almost always in Cleveland, they play that a couple times during the day, even though it's a whole album side. It's 25 minutes or whatever. But somehow we were so busy we cooked everything this year instead of just contributing to a family potluck. And it's amazing how much time you can spend in the kitchen when you're doing like turkey plus five side dishes. And we just didn't turn the radio on for some reason. So,
there's always a couple TV shows that have some good Christmas specials. Mm-hmm. For me particularly, Titus, which is an old show that most people don't remember, comedy, has a couple good holiday ones. I always watch the MacGyver one, where it's the Mary comes down and basically gives him the Christmas spirit. It's a good episode. X-Files has one where they visit a haunted house that has Ed Asner and Lily Tomlin in the episode.
I remember that one exactly.
Yeah. And what?
Go, no, please, please.
Oh, and my absolute favorite TV show Christmas one, I forget the episode name. It's from MASH. It's the one where they're celebrating at the party and a soldier comes in, but he's been like shot brain dead, and BJ keeps him alive. And the guy dies like 10 minutes before midnight. So BJ moves the clock so they can report he died after Christmas, so they don't tell the kids that their father died on Christmas Day. And it is just heartbreaking story. And I have to watch it every year. Very good episode.
I'll tell you, we've talked about this. This is one of our standard themes. We're living in this wonderful digital age where it used to be when you'd have this conversation, it was only a matter of reminiscing. You couldn't say, hey, remember the MacGyver episode,
right,
where people could then say, yeah, I'll go watch that, because those things weren't available unless it was like the MacGyver box set at the library that's already been watched.
They have a MacGyver box set? I don't have that.
It's right next to Monk, if I remember right, alphabetically. But you know, nowadays when you give these wonderful recommendations, it's not just kind of like dangling a cool thing. And if you hadn't seen it, you're like, oh, you really can go look some of these up and see every MASH episode. I know they're all available. And hopefully, you know, the world has been, anything that people can monetize, they're willing to put that little bit of work into digitizing it and capturing it off of old master tapes and stuff like that. So my guess is that we really could go watch every one of the references you just made. And there might even be one of those great lists of where people have said, hey, did you, like, I used to love the silly Christmas specials when I was growing up. Bob Hope would have one.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, you know, Ken Berry and whoever else, it was a little variety show and a little, you know, fun humor, but I don't know, they'd have like Jim Nabors come on and sing a Christmas song. And as you know, Gomer Pyle was, you go, holy, but then he'd sing and
his voice is like,
basso profundo crazy voice. And that's, I just have very fond memories of even like, Romper Room had a Christmas special once, and they had a little parade and they were all wearing Christmas hats, whatever.
Romper Bombers,
it just seemed like the kids were having so much fun. It was like, I want to be there. I want to be in the Christmas Jamboree or whatever. You know what I mean? I think it might even have been called that now that I say that out loud. So
someone just put about David Letterman's Cher singing Oh Holy Night and mocking it. We have a couple favorite songs like that from South Park. That if you look those up, there's Mr. Garrett sings Merry Effing Christmas, where he visits all the countries in the world and calls them heathens and tells them that they should worship. It's very not political. Right. But then there's one with Cartman singing Oh Holy Night, and basically he can't remember the words, so they give Kyle a shock stick, and every time Cartman gets it wrong, they get to shock him. So, you know, it's very irreverent stuff.
Right. But like South Park is.
Yeah, exactly. So if you don't like that type of stuff and it offends you, don't go watch those. I'm not recommending that to you. But if you don't mind it, go ahead. And I know my cousin Dan's on here. He just put James Brown's Funky Christmas.
That
reminded me, what about all the Doctor Who Christmas specials through the years?
That's true. In fact, nowadays, every time that they make the transition from one season to the next, they always have that Christmas special peppered in there, with especially like a 2-hour long one or something like that. And it's always, sometimes it's a big conflict, sometimes it's a big love in, you know, so that's cool.
Doctor Who, it's quirky regardless.
Yeah. And also, Alex makes a reference to, and this unfortunately happens in the same way that we've talked about how, you know, people get to digitize everything. They also do management of that, so that Disney is known for, they put things out for a while and then they remove them to let demand build again. So not everybody follows that long tail all the way out to now everybody has seen it. They actually kind of cut off access to, and then let the legend build.
Right.
And then
right.
they re-release it so that they can make a splash out of it again. So that's a little weird, but
I will say Disney, we saw last night, they have some sing-alongs. They have like specials that they released on the Disney Plus, and it's sing-alongs. We haven't watched it yet, but I guess it's some big name performers and stuff. So we're probably going to turn that on while we're baking or something.
Yeah. I have all kinds of friends, you know, performers that I like that I've actually talked to. So I get to call them friends. And because of COVID, they've been in lockdown. But like, there's a really cool Carl Palmer from Emerson, Lake and Palmer, the only surviving member, does a thing called, you know, ELP Legacy. And he has two guys he plays with, one on bass and one on guitar, where he plays all of Keith Emerson's keyboard parts on guitar.
Wow. Which
continues to just blow my mind that someone's capable of doing that. Well, he's been doing almost like weekly things where he just kind of like takes you into the studio with him. And so he was, let's try some Christmas music. And then he starts pulling off like, you know, perfect orchestrated on his guitar versions of Silent Night and Silver Bells. And just, it's, I love people like Neil Morse from Spock's Beard, for instance. They just have music flowing out of their fingertips.
Well, we just talked about that. The next step beyond just proficiency, that mastery, that eloquence of their exactly. skill.
And especially while they're playing something amazing, while they're talking to you about it. Do you know what I mean? Like their hands are just on a whole separate circuit, and they're just, and it's just the coolest thing.
Right?
I do not have that. I can play simultaneous chess. So I do have some things Ooh. Like that, but it was kind of fun. Colleen can tell you about this. We watched The Queen's Gambit, you know, which was eight or 10 episodes.
Everybody is talking about.
And it really was quite good. But of course, my geekery was, I really could recognize all of what was going on. You know, I played a lot of chess. I was really good when I was quite young and didn't pursue the obsession that makes you into a grandmaster and so forth. But it was kind of cool to be, wow, I remember doing some of those things. I really could play against multiple people. I beat adults on a regular basis. And some part of my early education in the joys of being a smarty, where not everybody enjoys that as much as you do. When you beat an adult, sometimes they think, well, what a cool little freaky trick that is. And other times they're really pissed because it's such a blow to the ego. Chess is very much a mano a mano game. You know what I mean? And to have an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old sit down and beat you, it ain't easy sometimes.
So were you sitting there like naming, oh, that's such and such strategy from this? And then she finally looks at you and says, Alan, shut up. Because I do stuff like that and I get it all the time.
She was actually kind of pleased that I knew a lot of them. You know what I mean? And I wasn't trying to be the, oh, I know everything guy. Because so much of the movie is not only about chess. There's other great things going on.
Yeah.
But when it was, if you will, a surprise, you know, someone's going to do Queen's Gambit declined. It really is, if you played 10 games where you've done Queen's Gambit accepted, it's like a left turn, you know, dun, dun, dun. There's a whole different thing going on. Anyway, it was...
Colleen just posted Miracle on 34th Street dancing to All I Want for Christmas Is You. I take it that's one of those mashups. They have a lot of those. I love some of those. They've done some great ones.
That's a long-standing video if you haven't seen it. It's, you know, two people and they're dressed in like Christmas outfits and socks and they're lip syncing it, if you will. Boy, if you haven't seen it, it's fantastic. It's really joyous, you know what I mean?
Ooh, imagine that,
like an empty warehouse studio, if you will, and they have just the right, whoever's working with them on camera does the right amount of zoom in, zoom out, capturing what they're doing. It's really sweet, and that's another tradition, if you will. Ever since I discovered that, that's another way in which I usher in the Christmas season is go watch that cool video.
So are they as good as the mashup I saw that has AC/DC mashed up with the Bee Gees?
I can't believe it could be as good as that.
You can't be. Okay, Dan said Duke Ellington, Three Sweets, the Nutcracker, Sugar Plum Cherry. I'll have to go look those up. I don't know those.
Yeah. In Colleen and I regularly have kind of alternated between going to see Nutcracker Suite, going to see Christmas Carol, going to see David Sedaris one, where he works as an elf in a department store.
I don't remember
the name of it. But you know, there's shows that are a joy to see.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. So speaking of that reminds me, and this is the craziness of our times. It's 2020. Movie theaters are closed. Basically, there's a few open, but we drove by the drive-in. the drive-in is still open and they are showing Christmas movies, double and triple feature Christmas movies. That's I'm really like, cool, what actually. Twilight Zone world are we living in right now?
I have read that any number of drive-in movies, they had a huge resurgence because they were a place you could safely bring your family. And actually, this is very funny. I really did think of that if they wanted to stay open after this big snowfall that we just had, that would be a tricky thing to plow with, you know, how they have the ripples in the pavement. So you have every car points up towards the screen, if you will. That would be a tricky thing to plow. So let's see.
Yes, Steven Seagal, the AC/DC Thunderstruck. That's wonderful. It's a hillbilly bluegrass that they play Thunderstruck and the gonk, gonk, they hit an anvil. With a hammer,
a guy on washboard, as I recall. I think I've seen that as well. You know,
that's a good one.
The best part of that is them riding in the mower. Video.
Ah,
yes, okay. Yes, riding in the mower. That is great.
For books, I know that there's I really like an author named Christopher Moore, who did a book called The Stupidest Angel. And it's a Christmas book, but if you've not read any Christopher Moore, can't recommend him highly enough. He's one of these guys that really, like us, has read every genre and is very good at, and also J. Lee Martinez is great, A. Lee Martinez, that they like, here's the, he has a book called Biff, like, Christ's Childhood Friend, another Christmassy book, if you will. He has one called like The Lust Lizard of Something Cove. They're very witty. It has like blood-sucking fiends. It's all about vampires, but with a funny bent to it, if you will. So The Stupidest Angel, it's a little book. It's a light read, but it makes fun in just the right joyful way of Christmas and Christmas.
I'm going to look that one up. So. I just saw on Facebook. Now, they have collections. Somebody, Enterprising Soul, collected like every public domain Christmas story written years ago and collected it into like one big volume, you know, 450 stories, and they're selling it for like 53 cents or something. I got that. And like Louisa May Alcott, she had like 20 Christmas stories. I was like, I had no clue.
Did you know that, Colleen, that she, because Colleen really loves the Little House on the Prairie books and knows one of these days she'll do her own presentation on Louisa May Alcott and that, because she really loves those and reads a lot about them.
We were talking about interviewing people. There we go. That would be great.
Well, we'll have to interview Colleen, not Louisa May, though, right? Because she's dead. But anyway.
We could try. I mean, I'm all up for a seance. You know, Gina would attract them, so we could have an in right there.
Yeah. One of the things that Colleen has shared with me about Louisa May Alcott is that I always thought that she wrote those in like the 1800s. No, she was alive to, was it your birthday, Colleen? Like 57 or 50, 59? She was like writing in the, you know, the 1900s.
Actually, you're talking about Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Oh, what am I saying? Of course. Yeah. Of
Louisa May Alcott wrote Little Women.
Right. Yes, right.
Thank you for pulling me up.
Too much info. It's leaking out.
Yeah, I've been nogging. I'm sorry.
It is, you know, 10 o'clock. Hey, Dan just asked, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? I think he came in late because we were talking about that, distinguishing between what's a Christmas movie and what is a movie set at Christmas time.
See, I think any movie that features the sign, now I have a machine gun, ho, ho, ho.
Right. Yeah.
That's Christmas.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anytime you strangle somebody with a string of lights, anytime that you or whatever,
and for me, Lethal Weapon. I mean, it's set at Christmas time,
right?
But I've watched it wrapping presents so often, it's a Christmas movie to me now. I think it's all a matter of perception. And this is Twilight Zone year, so hey, they're Christmas movies. There you go.
Yeah, it's. Are there any movies that people like hate? I just read I've always thought that Love Actually was okay and kind of sweet. You know, there are different forms of love and all that kind of stuff. And someone just really kind of took it to task for, wow, it really is the kind of fantasies about love or the kinds of things, let's make stalking look okay because it all turns out okay in the end. They had some reasonable criticisms for maybe that's not the only. People should not just see that movie and say this is what Christmas should be all about.
Well,
because there's heartbreak, because there is stalking and whatever else.
Don't tell my wife that. That's one of her favorites to watch at Christmas. So
okay, and that maybe that's bad to like. Hey, let's find someone's Christmas joy and stomp on it. So I apologize for saying anything.
And there seems to be a trend now that I find disturbing, that they take something that is older and love, and it's twisted, and it's this and it's that. For example, the Baby It's Cold Outside duo, people are slamming that because, oh, he's giving her roofies and he's going to rape her and manipulation. I'm like, no, they're flirting. She knows what's going on. They're having fun. It was written in the 50s. People in the 50s didn't think like that, basically. That's my point.
But there is a big controversy about that, because some of those same lines are exactly what people do use when they're like trying to apply a little pressure, trying to. So I can see it. I just don't go all the way to. That's what was intended. It wasn't meant to be a snarky, you're going to abuse her. It was kind of like, I guess, flirting. You know what I mean? And oh, well.
And that's a whole nother topic, because there have been too many actors that are getting slammed this out of the other thing for something they said 30 years ago. It's like, you know, people's thoughts change. Sometimes, you know, hey, people sometimes do get a little drunk and may text something and regret it later. You know, it's just whole just lives are getting ruined.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cancel culture. I mean, that's really beyond this kind of the scope and the tenor of what we want to talk about today.
Yeah.
A big thing, you know, it really is. I don't know. I most often myself look at an artist's entire body of work, and I don't easily find that I apply a litmus test to it. It's not like everything's great, but then one bad thing makes me not like them anymore. It's a concerted pattern of behavior. You know, so as much as Colleen and I have this real conflict, we've been watching sets of movies because you can get everything, like the great directors. So we've watched every Hitchcock we can get our hands on. And we're now working our way through the Wes Andersons. Well, we also watched Woody Allen's. And, you know, personally, he's done a whole bunch of questionable stuff, but his movies are really good. And so you kind of, can you separate the art from the artist? Do you want to? People don't. I don't think that watching it is giving him any money or showing necessarily my approval of his lifestyle, but I understand that, you know, there's any number of movies when he was in maybe his worst period that it's like, oh, he's playing out this weird December, June romance thing, and it's getting creepier and creepier as he gets older. I get that some of that's unsettling, you know.
The one part, like with the Baby It's Cold Outside, that I can understand, but for me it doesn't really apply, I guess, is that you've got too many people now that would hear it and say, oh, well, that's approval, so I could do that. And they would use it if they get sued by their lawyer. You know, so I understand, you know, people. But the problem is, like we've always said, why is someone else deciding what I can listen to or not? Because I don't take the song that way. It's flirty. It's funny. It's cute. And if you listen to it in Elf, you know, that's a great rendition between the two of them. Right. And you could argue, well, he's in the bathroom when she's taking a shower. Yeah, but he was very innocent about it, and it makes for a comedic moment.
Exactly.
Again, sometimes I think our culture has gotten a little too uptight at times. We need to relax a little bit.
Yeah, loving humor as I do, and knowing that humor is often transgressive, you know, it sees a line and steps willingly right over it. That makes many people uncomfortable.
Yeah,
you know, so
it does.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about like Christmas traditions? Do you have things that you can't wait to do because the holiday, like we have advent calendars every year. I've had that since growing up, and we get on the wall. We can't wait for our, you know, Colleen and I take turns depending on, you know, which is it, an odd or an even year? And therefore we get, you know, who goes first, if you will. We like it so much that the last couple of years we've actually sent advent calendars out to like our extended family and have gotten nice feedback with, hey, I never had one of these. And it's really kind of cool. It does that nice build up to Christmas, if you will. Anything similar for folks? Steven?
We have lots. We do the advent just because the kids want the candy. And I do believe a couple of them said that Christmas is tomorrow now, according to their advent calendar.
Yeah, because they've eaten up all the previous days.
Right. But they have the ones now, like with the Lego minifigures, which I think are cool. And speaking of Lego, if you have not seen the Disney Lego Star Wars Christmas special, you need to go watch it.
I haven't seen that one.
It's humorous. Okay. It's very funny.
Yeah. A friend just posted an advent calendar that he actually like picked up on sale maybe last year, a couple of years ago, where it has a little Funko Pop figures in it.
So
it's not quite Lego, but like I had never even seen that before. And again, I'm enough of a comic book guy that it's like comic books must have. and but they're really cute. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's the little, I don't know what you call it, stylized little toy version of Iron Man and Spider-Man and whatever else it might be. So kind of.
Dan said his annual tradition is Christmas Story. Yep. I like to watch Polar Express on Christmas Day.
Okay. That's one of those uncanny valley movies. You know, they're getting closer and closer with animation to where it looks human.
Yeah.
But then when it's really close but isn't quite right, there's a little bit of like weird skin crawly, oh, that's a doppelganger type reaction to it. But now, the story is beautiful.
Well, now, have you read the actual picture book? Because the drawings in the picture book are great, but they've added to the story in the movie. And okay. I really think the movie has a little more depth to it, a little more feeling. Another example of that is Christmas with the Cranks, which was based on Grisham's something Christmas, Stealing Christmas, something. But I read the book and I watched the movie, and I don't really care to go read the book again. It wasn't as funny. I thought the movie was much more funny. So
got it. Exactly. In fact, I wonder how many there are of that.
Skipping Christmas. Thank you, Dan.
There we go. Okay. And also,
really?
A Christmas Story is another annual tradition. You know, that's been around for a while. And
yes,
the especially that being based in Cleveland, you know, they actually have it where you can like go visit the Christmas Story house. They've
Been there.
The house, redid it to have the leg lamp and all the appropriate things. You know, yeah. I don't know if there's a pole that you can get your tongue stuck to, but
Dan said it was Skipping Christmas and he liked the book better. But, and I could see that. I mean, the book wasn't horrible, but I also saw the movie for like 10 years before I even read the book. So we've talked about that too. You know, what do you do sometimes? Oh, a movie's coming out. I got to read the book before the movie because I don't want to ruin the book. And there is a place in Medina, if anyone wants to come up this way, that is a Christmas museum.
Right. Christmas Castle, I think it's called, right?
Yes.
Like and I tried planning trips to that from our local Mensa group like 2 years in a row. And if you don't get reservations in like June, you can't get a good date that will take 30, 40, 50 people.
Right.
I kind of blew it with, I didn't realize already how popular it was. And actually it wasn't only going to the museum. We of course want to have like a meal before or after, grab lunch or dinner together. But Medina is not a big place. Everything gets sold out the whole month of December because they're all coming down for this thing. And also they have an ice festival in January or February.
Oh, really?
Everything on the square gets sold out unless you have a reservation. So Colleen and I have gone there where you like walked around and got hot chocolate, but we didn't eat because everything was sold out.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway.
So for anyone that hasn't been to the Christmas Museum, they have actual props from movies. They have Schwarzenegger's Jingle All the Way power suit.
We forgot Jingle All the Way. Exactly.
Yeah. And they have Santa sitting up on a pedestal. You can go up the steps and tell him what you want, and then he kicks you down the slide. He literally will, he won't kick hard, but he pushes you down. So they recreate that. They have the Grinch costume that Carrie wore, and they have this spinning tunnel that you have to walk through, and just a lot of props. It's really, really cool. They have, when New York stopped doing all the window displays around towns or Times Square, they went and bought a lot of those window displays. So they have all these window displays there. And some of them, when I was there, they couldn't even show. And the absolute best thing, we got to walk up and touch and get a picture of the actual RV that they used in Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation.
And all the rust and all that, it's paint. It's not even real rust. It's painted on.
That's hilarious. Don't they have like a dollhouse room? That's supposed to be spectacular that
I
they have like
so.
Many dollhouses and big dollhouses where, you know, every single thing you'd put in a house is all meticulously hand carved or whatever. So very, you know, we've still not been there. And unfortunately with COVID, I don't want to go to any place where it's going to be elbow to elbow. And then you're worried about, does everybody have a mask on? But maybe post Christmas, we're going to sneak over there in January when it'll have calmed down a bit. Cause I would love to see that. I'd love
it is well worth it. Very and cool. for us, I think it's open all year. Somebody just asked if it's open only. I think it is actually all year. And another favorite for us, we don't go every year, but over in Pennsylvania, they have a store called Cranax, and they do a Christmas tree like display where, and it's all these trees they have for sale and people buy them. So you have to go before Christmas because like on the 23rd, everybody picks up the trees they bought. So it's
and it's denuded. Done. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But then down the road is Daffin's chocolate store. So you can go to Cranax and they have really great toys at Cranax. They have some old style fashion toys. They have a good toy store and they have a fantastic display and selection of Christmas stuff. And I'm talking several rooms worth. You have to wander through these rooms. So Cranax is a good one. And then Daffin's, we like to do that a lot.
Very good. Amber chimes in with Castle Noel is the name of the place that's in Medina. Exactly. Thank you very much. We've actually been all the way up to Frankenmuth, Michigan,
Colleen
and I, you know, where they have the world's biggest Christmas store. At least that's what all the billboards say on the way to it. And honestly, it really is. It's multiple big hangar type warehouses joined together. So when you take a walk, it's like buildings A through G. You really can, like, you got to pace yourself. You know, luckily there's a bathroom at about between C and D and that kind of thing. And they have every ornament, every tree, every wreath, every light type. And the ornaments are, here's all the various different ethnicities, for instance. So if you're looking for, we found a one that says Linksmu Kalėdų, which is Christmas in Lithuanian. That is not necessarily an easy to find album unless you go to, and what's the name of this place? Why am I blanking? Colleen, do you remember the name of our Christmas store up in, we'll get it. We have got,
Tis the Season.
Yeah. It's actually Tis the Season is the one that's in Ohio. And we've actually been there to get the advent calendars that I mentioned. They have a whole wall of advent calendars. Oh, and so that was a great place where I can't just find two or three. We need to get like 20. And so that's where you can do it.
Bronner's.
We now on our, and in fact, this can, our Christmas tree is, we think, really cool. You know, when people, we traveled a lot. Yeah, he said.
I like the way you said that, we think.
Well, because, you know, not
it's very offensive to everybody else, and people want to kill us, but we like it.
Well, everybody has their traditions, and instead of like these kinds of lights or these kinds of popcorn or what other people have, what we've done is, we've been all over the United States. We've been to 48 out of 50 state capitals. And so, you know, people get plates or spoons or license plates or whatever else it might be. We early on discovered that many places have ornaments.
Yeah.
And that they're indicative of the place you go to. So whenever we decorate our tree each year, it's a wonderful walk down memory lane because, look, here's our Bar Harbor ornament where we had our honeymoon. Here's one from the Grand Canyon. Here's one from, you know what I mean? You just go all over the country. There's the, and sometimes it's, I don't know, like they're really cute. When you go to the dinosaur museum, we actually have like, who has a Christmas triceratops on their tree? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I know people that have themes and they're like, oh, we have our white Christmas tree this year. And then next year it's all blue. And then one year it's, you know, all these elegant ornaments and stuff. I'm like, are you kidding me? I got this little toy that I thought was cute. And we got this one and the kids were young and look, so some little kid colored this and we put it on the tree. It's a mishmash. You know, I mean, it's a junk sale tree. Exactly. But I love it.
But it's so cool to see the family stuff.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And Colleen, thank you so much, Colleen. It's Bronner's is the one that's up in Frankenmuth. And one of the other joys of going there, you know, when we first went there, as you might imagine, it was like, oh boy, get the credit card in melting stage because there's all kinds of things we're going to find here that we've never seen elsewhere. We talked about the various different Christmas specials. We always wanted to have like Herbie the Elf
and
Yukon Cornelius.
And we can be independent together.
Exactly. You know, I want to be a dentist. Yeah. And we found all of those. They have sections for every cartoon show, every Disney special, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going there.
We got a Bumble on the tree. It's the coolest thing. We got space aliens. We have the pickle. We have the pickle that you hide.
I got the pickle.
Okay. And I don't know. We've just had such joy in when we find these things. You know, we'll specifically go into stores like in Sedona and say, it's the middle of summer. It's 100 degrees outside. Hey, you got any Christmas ornaments? Yeah, weirdo, right over here. But we found like that's got a cactus with little lights on it. And it's so indicative of the places that we've been. Yeah. We went to the Jolly Green Giant Museum up in Minnesota. And so we have a Jolly Green Giant for the tree. I don't know, man. It's so much us. You know what I mean? Maybe that's a great way to put it, is that it's nobody else's tree. Nobody else has this particular set of memories and joys.
Right.
But every time, Colleen is really wonderful. You know, I tend to, she wraps everything to make sure that it's good. I'm not rough on things, but she's really got a beautiful touch so that I think that we've had like one, maybe a limb snapped off of our Elvis from Tupelo, Mississippi, but otherwise everything is still intact. And it's very cool to have like, wow, we've had this ornament for our 20 years together, you know, from our very first one. It's a joy to have that kind of thing.
I've got the collection of Star Wars Christmas Funko Pops. It's got like R2 with lights wrapped around them and Darth Vader with a Santa Claus hat, stuff like that. Those are great.
Yeah. We put some lights on outside. We have icicles along our fence, you know, that have the little blinks in them, so it looks like icicles, I guess. We have lights, we like big color. We don't like pure white. So we have big colors out on the front hedge. And we love going to, there's some neighborhoods, like I grew up in Chicagoland, where they had three streets in, what was it called? Schiller Park, I think, where it was like Candy Cane Lane and Santa Claus Street, one other, and everybody on the street does it. You know what I mean? So instead of being a single house that's overdone like Christmas Vacation, everybody on the street does it. And so you drive there and you take an hour to just kind of creep along, and you're not the only one. There's all kinds of other cars that are doing 15 miles an hour, but they got the dancing Santa on the roof, and they got the house like you could read your newspaper by the lights of all the light that these lights are putting out. And
thank you, Griswold.
The Griswold, the overwhelm of it is cool.
So, have you seen the movie Deck the Halls with Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito?
Yes, exactly. It was a competition. Exactly. Yes.
And have you ever been down to Ogle Bay in West Virginia? Really?
Alan? No.
Oh, look it up. It's like one of the top 10 light displays in the country. It's just like a couple hours away in West Virginia. Yeah.
Wow. See, I honestly, again, thank you very much for the lead. We go to Neela Park, for instance, which has a nice one, and the zoo has a nice one.
Colleen wrote, we must go there at once. Ogilby, yeah, you need to go. And there's I'll have to look it up. I apologize. There's a little town just south of Canton, I believe, that I've gone to, where they decorate, and it looks like Dickens' Christmas Carol, the whole town. And they have it open. They do a light display on the mayor's house or something, and the whole village has statues all dressed up like they're from Dickens' time, and it's very nice. I'll have to look it up, put it in the show notes, but we've gone there. It's really good.
I remember I did consulting for Ameritech for a number of years back when I was in Chicago, and unfortunately oftentimes when you're going to do your releases of big projects is like end of the year, Christmas and New Year's. And so I remember being in Michigan working, and we were working a lot, and we took a break and went to, I think it was Framington or Farmington Hills, and their downtown was much as you describe. It looked like you had gone back to Dickensian times, where they have simulated gas lights, and the windows of all the stores are frosted, and there's it was really the tonic that I needed for, wow, I'm missing out on Christmas. And then for those 2 hours, I got to be like, let's have a hot chocolate and let's just relax for a while and kind of regather ourselves before the big push to the release night. So very good.
And then there's the Wild Lights at the zoo. That's always nice to go to.
Exactly. That's, in fact, we often go to Asian Lantern Nights, and Colleen has been to it before I got into town. So we're really thinking about doing that this year. We did discover that's one of those where you need to be careful. You know, we kept our masks on when we were there, and we made a point of not getting into any of the pinch points where people are jostling around and just,
like doorways. For some reason, people love to stop in a doorway.
They get to the top of an escalator, and then they think about where they want to go. And the escalator keeps piling people in.
I've been in line at McDonald's for 20 minutes, and the menu hasn't changed in 30 years. But now that I'm at the counter, I'm going to take 10 minutes to decide what I want. So we'll move on now.
Let's see. There's a street right the next street over from us actually does luminaria, you know, where they have little bags or milk jugs. They put a candle in and they put them all at the end of their driveway. And then when you look down the street, it's like airplane landing lights. And it's supposed to be, of course, that's how you're going to guide either the baby Jesus or Santa Claus, depending on what your druthers is.
Or Krampus.
Your house. Or Krampus, exactly that. The snow miser, the heat miser, I'm sorry. Oh,
that's a great song.
But it just, we make a point of walking that because Arthur Avenue is a nice well-to-do street in Lakewood. So between the luminaria and the nicely decorated houses, it's become kind of a maybe Christmas Adam instead of Christmas Eve. You know what I mean? Actually, I guess it has to be Christmas Eve because I think that's when they do it. They don't do it every night. They do it on that specific Christmas Eve night, but for that nice brisk hour of walking along, it's really a cool thing. So and right next door, it's so handy.
Dan put a link to Clifton Mill, big Xmas lights. And down halfway between us and Dayton is Landall Castle, and I guess they do a lot of lights, and that's something we've been thinking about going to check out.
There has to be a couple of websites that are clearing houses for this. You know what I mean? Like Chicagoland actually had a book where they looked at those various different neighborhoods where they did it, like in Andersonville, which is a Swedish neighborhood and that kind of stuff. And I actually used that over the years to say, I've done Candy Cane Lane a number of times. Let's go look at the one up in Lake Forest or whatever else it might be. And just, I don't know, you get a little cabin fever, but it's also, I love, what a great combination of let's go see some lights and let's go to a little town downtown where you're going to stumble onto that cool old used bookstore, or you're going to have the perfect hot chocolate at their little cafe. And that's part of Christmas too.
Yep.
My joy of Christmas has many times been directly related to how crazy I was at work. You know, I really did knock myself out for like 30 years. And then I got melanoma and recovered, but it really did give me perspective on, boy, you sure are working a lot if you can't think of many joyful Christmases because you were working so
Yeah, long. I remember the one job that I was glad to leave is that we worked on a project for 8 months and was not getting any feedback, was not getting the customer to tell us what they wanted. And so we delivered it between Christmas and New Year. And then they came back the day before New Year's Eve and said, well, these are all the things that we don't like and we want different. And we want it by next week. And the boss actually said, well, I think you guys need to work over New Year's. I'm like, yeah, no, not doing that. Not my fault.
So in brief, I had my only assignment that I ever backed away from as a consultant was I did some work for Foot, Cone, and Belding. They're a big advertising agency in Chicago, and they wanted like a project management and maybe a materials management system kind of before those things were available on the net. And so I built them a cool prototype and went in, and they kind of tore it apart. And it's like, well, I did what you wanted by spec. And they said, well, now we've thought of these other things. And then I did that two more times, and each time, what I kept thinking was, you know, because it was around Christmas time, the Christmas theme was, you're not asking me to like rearrange the ornaments on this tree. You're saying, well, we wanted a spruce instead of a pine.
Right.
You're tearing the guts out of this thing that I'm trying to build for you.
That's why you need a sign scope.
Yeah. And that's after three times of doing that, I really had to get away from that. So yeah.
Let me ask if anyone or you, there was a Netflix Christmas show last year called The Christmas Chronicles that had Kurt Russell. We watched it and really enjoyed it. I thought it was, you know, fun, lighthearted. Right. And they've got a sequel this year.
Watched it.
Did you like it?
We did.
Good.
It's
okay.
Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, who are real life sweeties for 50 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? And of course, it's silly and the right amount of magic and the right amount of believe in the spirit of Christmas and those kinds of things. Very cool special effects. Maybe we're into that theme, like I said, from the baking show of, I don't mind cute. I don't mind soothing.
Right.
you know, I don't need to have Krampus all the time.
we're probably going to watch it maybe this weekend, but we got to watch the first one again. I thought the first one was great.
Yeah, it was really funny. And Kurt Russell is one of those few like childhood stars that grew up to be a movie star.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's all kinds of people that kind of burn out on that level of whatever you get as a childhood attention and stuff like that. And instead, he's fun to watch.
Yeah. He can still be Snake Pilsken, and he can be in Tango and Cash, and he can still be a great Santa Claus. So that's pretty
a great way
remarkable.
To put it. Exactly. The man has range. Yeah. Exactly. So,
and he can sing.
That's true. Another thing that our family always did was, you know, when you have that week off between Christmas and New Year's, when everybody's away from school and that kind of stuff, we always used to like pull out the jigsaw puzzles, or we'd get new ones at Christmas. We'd do family gaming. And that's very much, as you might imagine, a Mensa topic. Any particular things that people did like that? You know, we would often, for instance, on New Year's Eve, have like the family risk game as to whoever conquered the world got to win the you know, for the next year and stuff like that. But Risk is a tough one because people get eliminated. So then luckily Chicago had like Laugh in the New Year, a whole bunch of Marx Brothers movies. You can go watch that. What were people's traditions for like post Christmas? Is it all leftovers? Is it gaming?
For us, that's changed a bit because we used to have little kids. So when you have younger kids, there's a lot of just playing and watching things and, you know, staying fun. And then they get older into teenagers and they have friends over. So it's
their own things.
Yeah. Dealing with that. Now they're like all adults. So they work, you know, they go out. It's like, they're not here all the time, but we do play games. In fact, right before this, my son pulled out HeroClix and kicked my butt once again. I really suck at that game, but it's so much fun. So Dan said that the Jingle Jangle on Netflix was good. So I'm definitely have to check that one out. Let me tell you a little Christmas memory I have, Alan, from years and years ago. So my first year in college, I come home and, you know, oh my gosh, I'm an adult. I'm off school. I'm not beholden to anybody right now. I can stay up. I can relax. I can do what I want. Cause I had worked a factory job all summer right after high school and then first semester of college and all the classes and stuff. So it'd been a long, stressful year graduating high school. So I'm like, I don't have to do anything. So I'm sitting down. It's late. It's midnight or something. And I flip on. It was either Wonderful Life or Christmas Carol or Miracle on 34th. It was an old black and white Christmas movie. And I'm by myself, which was fine. I'm very introverted at times. I need my recharge quiet time. And I'm watching it. And I'm like, wait a second. I'm not 21, but I am in my own house and I'm over 18 and my parents have a little alcohol in the closet. I'm going to get some of that. I had no idea how to mix it. So I got a big cup that was like one of the super pops from the gas station. I put half 7-Up in it and then half whatever the clear alcohol my parents had. I had no idea. I'm pouring half of it. Oh, and I'm drinking it and my nose gets red. And I'm like, oh, I can't see the TV straight. Well, here I come to find out. The alcohol was the stuff they had from their wedding that they kept.
Oh, so it's mold over the years.
It was okay. 20 years old. Yeah.
Wow. So we have to be more conscious of time than we sometimes are with our podcast because we have another program running here with the wonderful Cincinnati RG. We covered a lot of good stuff. Anything? Ugly Christmas sweaters. Let's not leave those off.
I have a Star Wars t-shirt, ugly Christmas sweater.
There you go. Exactly. And in fact, I discovered a store in Madison, Wisconsin, of all places, right at the university, that has more of those sweaters than I've ever seen in one place. All of our Chicago or Milwaukee listeners, if you really want to go have, like, boy, the choice of every sweater you've ever wanted, that's the place to go.
Great.
Let's see. That's about good, right? You know, we always have candy canes, marzipan, whatever we have. I've that's a thing that as a grown up I've gotten away from. You know, I can no longer sit down and eat a bowl of, you know, red and green M&Ms because that just doesn't work for my constitution anymore. Nut roll, I see, exactly. I think we might have to be done. Thank you so much.
Sounds like it,
Stephen.
Thank you, Ann.
Everyone, you know, I hope you don't mind. We, of course, have recorded this. I don't know that we recorded the chat stream, but we recorded at least our chatting and those.
I saved the chat stream so I can use it.
There you go. Perfect. This will be posted soon to relentlessgeekery.com. And hey, if you want to listen to us once a week, because we get up to hijinks like this and it's really kind of fun, we think, please join us. All right. Thanks, everyone. And enjoy the whole rest of the RG.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
You have been listening to the Relentless Geekery Podcast. Come back next week and join Alan and Steven's conversation on geek topics of the week.